Today is the second Sunday, so normally I do a recorded talk. But because Yadim's not here, and the camera is therefore not here, I'm going to postpone what I was going to do till next week. And today I'm going to talk with you about something equally important, but it won't be a video recording. Hopefully it will just be an audio recording. Some of you received the email I sent out about the Sacred Earth Council. Most of you, I hope, received it. And in that description, I wrote to you about something I referred to as divine intentionality, bringing things forward. So when that happens, an impulse of light comes to the earth. It can come through an individual. It can come through the collective body of which we're a part. And people's hearts begin to awaken more to follow the divine intention of their soul. So this is an individual thing that can happen, and it's also a collective way of human beings responding to a divine impulse. What's trying to come forward now is change. What kind of change? Change in our relationship with each other and with the earth. We've been aware of this for a long time because we have feelings about what needs to change. We certainly do. We have strong feelings. But that doesn't mean that we feel individually that we can make a difference or that we can change. We have a feeling of a desire to change, but not the way of change. So the divine impulse that's awakening now and that I'm trying to help move forward is the path of change individually and collectively towards a deeper, more sanctified relationship with the earth. And when I say the earth, I include the physical earth and each other. I assume and trust that most of us here are conscious of the earth's needs, the way the earth has been abused or violated or hurt by human practices. We're aware of climate change, we're aware of depletion of resources and so on. I assume that you're all conscious of those things. But what I want to address is the divine within the earth. We're not all the time conscious that we're living a divine life and that the earth is a divine being. Maybe we've heard those words. Maybe we have a small feeling about it. But that's the place that is the new awakening that needs to happen of our understanding of the collective divinity of ourselves and of the earth. Being. The earth's being is housed in the physical body of the earth. It's not different from our own being. It's larger, more purposeful, more conscious. And so when we try to look at the parameters of change, what can we change? How can we change? How can human beings change in our relationship to the earth? We need to look inside ourselves first and say, what is my relationship with the divine earth? What do I believe about this? Maybe I don't even feel that. Maybe I still feel that the earth is a physical home for our physical bodies and that we need to take care of that home because without the resources of the earth, we hurt ourselves. We no longer have what we need. Well, that's true. We don't. But that's not the whole story. Beloved ones, that's not close to the whole story. The earth experiences pain. The earth experiences consciousness. The earth experiences what we experience, except on a much vaster scale. Every physical body in the universe is conscious. Every physical body. And the word has been given many different ways. Spirit, soul, everything that's physical is spirit. So, we need to see where we are with this in our love, in our reverence. In our reverence. We need to be able to see what we're holding on to in the way of personal comfort that prevents us from moving into a changed, altered, expanded aspect of our relationship with others in the earth. And if you look, you'll see what you're holding on to, because what you're holding on to is based on self-protection, fear, and the desire for comfort. What we're all holding on to are habits. Habits of comfort. Habits that are based on fear. Habits that are based on what we believe to be our needs. So today, I wanted to introduce the subject of our relationship to the earth, which includes all beings and all creatures, because the Sacred Earth Council, which is meeting next Saturday at 1 p.m., invites you all to be part of it in an ongoing way. It's very important. It's very important that we participate in change and that we don't hold it back. In a way, we think there's a middle ground. The middle ground that we think is that we cannot notice what's going on. We cannot notice it, or we can feel we're too small to make a difference. Only one person, 7 billion people. I've said this to you before. When you count in numbers, it doesn't make sense. You can't count in numbers. One compared to 7 billion. Then of course you feel small. But when you feel life, the network of life, then it's not about numbers. Then it's about meshing. It's about interaction. It's about nothing being separate from anything else. And I ask you to look at what you believe about this, because it's of utmost importance. Utmost importance now. To look at what you believe about 1 versus 7 billion, or we are all connected on an energy, physical, body, emotional, consciousness level. So I want to invite you all to please consider coming to the Sacred Earth Council. It's the first meeting. I'll talk more in the way I'm talking now. More. But for now, what I thought would be useful is to talk with you about how we look at change in our own consciousness. Change can happen in different ways. For example, some of us maybe take the New Year as a marker and say, I'll make a New Year's resolution, and after January 1st I'm going to do this. And we make a mental diet for ourselves, make a little program of what we've resolved. And sometimes it lasts for a few weeks, sometimes it lasts a little longer, often it doesn't, because it's coming from the level of the mind and the will, often, and it's not integrated with the rest of us. Sometimes it lasts longer, but not all the time. Within a spiritual life, within our life, the way of change is evolutionary. It's the growth through awakening, primarily of the heart, that substitutes a higher motive for a lower motive. That is a more important thing that you want to do or accomplish for something that's less important. That's how it works. We move forward in our spiritual awareness. We move forward, and so we're aware of something becoming more important to us. Very often we consider that to be relationships become more important, living from our heart becomes more important, living in a more conscious way when we make choices becomes more important. Those are the foundational aspects of how change occurs. What becomes more important takes the place of what is less important. That's how it works. To some degree, we have a choice about what we allow to become more important, of course. We can get in our own way, and often do. We can say, I know what's right to do, but I don't feel up to doing it, or I don't feel ready to do it. I know what I should be doing, but I don't feel like I want to do that. We can say that, and we just postpone whatever we feel is right to do. We have that freedom. But the evolution of the planet and of our own individual consciousness is happening whether we like it or not. It's happening because the divine intention for all beings to move forward now is taking place whether we like it or not. It's happening because the vibrational frequency of the earth and the capacity to hold light is increasing. And with that capacity to hold light, the inner being of all people is awakening. You may look around you and say, well, it's not awakening fast enough. You know, it should be happening faster. I want to see where it's happening. But it is happening. It's happening whether you see it happening or not. And this isn't the time for me to talk about purification in light and darkness, but the darkness that's manifesting is part of the awakening, because the darkness, what we call darkness, needs to become conscious. So if we look around and we see bad things happening, it's not that light isn't expanding, but that's for another day. Each of our contributions to change is extremely important. I can't emphasize it enough. This is what's real. This is not real. This is 1/7 billion. This is what's real. We are connecting in our consciousness and in our heart with the whole planetary network all of the time. And so everything we do is broadcast all of the time. This is a good example, this that we just experienced, of what I'm trying to say about sacredness. We have a habit of thinking that there's a spiritual life that we dip into. We sit and meditate, we have a spiritual practice, and then there are the other things to do in life, like taking care of technology, computers, problems that come up, groceries. Let me turn this down. Yeah, so we have a habit of thinking that separates our spirituality from the rest of our life. Even this, that little interaction with Gordon. See, what happens is we have a habit of thinking that when we're paying attention to something else that's functional, practical, that we have to change. You know, we go into another part of ourselves. No, we don't have to change. This that's happening is all part of the flow of what's happening this morning. So I'm trying to talk to you about the sacredness of the earth as a holy being. And this is not an interruption, because it interrupted what I was saying. Deeper than that, it just is what it is. It's just part of it. It's just part of the whole. That's the place of change. That is exactly the place of change. To not have to separate parts of your life into one thing and another thing. That's the place of change. And to not think, as I said before, that because you're one person, you don't make a difference to all of consciousness. It's just not true. The word reverence is a powerful word. We don't use it too much in Western culture. Christianity uses the word reverend for a minister, and the Bible refers to things that involve reverence. But our society in the West has become secularized to such a degree that we don't automatically feel reverence during our days. Reverence. Do you know what reverence is? Reverence is what your inner being feels in the presence of an authentic experience of the divine. Reverence is automatically present because your inner being knows that all is spirit, knows that. Your conscious mind doesn't know that, but your inner being knows that. And reverence is the inner aspect of bowing with gratitude before that which is pure gift of the holy. That's what reverence is. And we're walking around on a holy earth all of the time. And we think we're walking around on an object because the ground is solid beneath our feet. We're walking around on a holy earth that is a being. And that as we develop more awareness, we can have greater communication with that being. Some of us already do. We have greater feeling of communication with plants or trees or life forms, creatures. Some of us already do, but that's going to increase because consciousness is already there. There is nothing that's solid. Again, I say over and over again, whatever you see that's solid is interacting with your physical senses, so it looks solid. Underneath the solid is the energy moving within itself, within the subatomic particles, moving. And underneath the energy is the consciousness that's infusing the life of whatever is alive, which is everything, everything. What are you willing to become? What is important enough for you to change into something that has reverence for life, for others, that is willing to walk around during the day feeling that reverence, that inner bowing, that namaste? What are you willing to change so that you stop objectifying things? Like this, like that, about the computer interaction and the microphones and all of that. The reason that we can go from my talking about holiness to having an audio problem to going back to talking about holiness is because it's all one. It's a change of content, but it's not separate. It's all one. And that's what we need to move towards. That consciousness. What are you willing to become? We are facing the future, not just the future of the physical planet, although that too, which is important to most of us, and not just the future of our own bodies, although that too, because health is important, but the sacredness of life. What are you willing to become? Think of that. Think of what you're willing to become and what you're holding on to out of habit that doesn't feel right but that feels comfortable. Think of it. There is a principle of inner support when we try to do what's right. Buddhism has a phrase called right action, and most spiritual traditions have a similar kind of phrase. Not that, but something similar. When we do what we feel internally corresponds to our own sense of rightness, it creates an inner sense of freedom. Not less freedom, more freedom, because we're lined up with our own truth. When we're doing what we don't feel is right, because it's more comfortable, we become smaller, and even if nobody else notices it, inside ourselves, we recognize that we've made ourselves smaller, because we're not aligning with our truth. We're aligning with what has been called a convenient truth, or we're aligning with what's comfortable, or we're aligning with our fear, but we're not aligning with our truth, so we feel smaller. So the principle of inner support for doing what our inner being tells us is right always expands us. It always expands us. It doesn't mean that that doesn't create difficulties interactively with a world that may be operating differently. There are problems on the interface level to be encountered. But the most important part of our life is our inner life that we then bring to our interactions. Our inner life determines how we meet everything else that's outside us. Our inner life does. And when we are living according to what we feel is our true relationship with others and the earth, we feel better, more free, more joyful. And I don't mean joy, ha-ha, happy. I mean joyful in the sense of feeling the goodness of our life because we're being true to ourselves. True to ourselves, integrity, joy are all part of a continuum. All. The ability to live from the truth of who we are. And now we're being asked to live according to the truth of who the earth is and who other beings are, not just who we are. We're asked to bring our inner sense of reverence to life and to stop walking around as if we don't make a difference. That's the change. To stop walking around as if we don't make a difference. We are interacting with everything around us and beyond us all of the time. If you are joining me to any degree about the earth as a being, then you could imagine, and as a conscious being, that the earth has waited a very, very, very long time for human beings to become conscious. Very long time. In the cycle of planets, stars, and larger bodies, galaxies, time is completely different because we're talking about vast consciousnesses that are not separated from the oneness. So it's not as if time is measured minute to minute. But there is a part of every being related to the earth that has chosen to engage with time and space. The earth as a physical being is living in space-time as well as in infinite time. So the space-time part of the earth, which is the physical evolution of the planet that we all know about, the evolution of life on the earth, that being of the earth is waiting for us to become conscious of our true relationship. And that's why change is needed, because we're at the cusp of that. We're at the cusp. Well, I think I will conclude this part with saying again that the greater love has to replace the lesser love. The greater desire has to replace the smaller desire. The greater value has to replace the smaller value of what we're holding on to. That's how change takes place. And inside of you, you know where you are with that, what you're ready to let go of, what's making you smaller, what can make you larger. And so I leave this portion of talking with the question, what are you willing to become? What?